So last time you mentioned, or maybe I'll just sort of say like a kind of a characteristic part of Ajahn Chah's style is for when chores need to be done by a community, like the encouragement is for everyone to come and help out and stay until the job is finished.
Yeah.
And then everybody disperses appropriately. Can you talk about like maybe why that is or how what that adds to the community?
Well, I think one of the things that it adds to the community is that it's a communal chore. Everybody benefits from the chore. So then having everybody pitch in, you know, is it one? It's a how do you say there's kind of like out of respect for the community. Then one pitches in and helps, and then the community. One, it gets things done, and because oftentimes if you know, there's chores, and then some people show up, some people don't show up, some people don't show up consistently. There's festering kind of resentments, and it'll display itself in disharmony. So it's an important way of trying to maintain communal harmony, and really trying to put that emphasis on communal harmony, because it's just normal that if you're busting your ass doing something, and then a couple people are just consistently hanging around somewhere else, drinking tea and schmoozing, it's not for increase of wholesome states and decrease of unwholesome states. It helps to create that communal harmony. It also, if everybody pitches in, it really doesn't take that long to get it done and go back to your good tea or whatever. So those are some of the kind of advantages or benefits, and it's ordinary that on some days you don't feel like doing the chores, or you don't feel like doing a particular task, you have to learn how to not to believe your moods all the time. So that, I mean, there is a bigger point in the practice as well, in the sense of, because if we spend our whole life following our moods, hoping that we'll come to a complete cessation of suffering by getting what I want when I want it, and not have to deal with the things that I don't want and don't like, tough luck, it ain't going to happen. And so that learning how to push through the kind of moods and dislikes or likes that we have that are, it's ordinary. But it's the ordinary tendency that keeps us tethered to a cycle of suffering. It isn't that will, if we just learn how to meditate, get the jhanas and contemplate anicca dukkha anatta all the time, then we'll be free of suffering. There's a lot more to it than that. and much of it comes in very ordinary circumstances where these deep-seated habit patterns, deep-seated views, deep-seated clinging to a sense of me, a sense of self. That's something I remember reading years and years ago. And I don't even remember what book it's in. I remember writing it down, though. And an American conception of freedom is the freedom to not have to do what you don't want and the freedom to choose what you like. And that's freedom. That's freedom. Well, Buddha's got a very different concept of freedom. The sort of freedom from the greed, hatred, and illusion, freedom from the tendency to attachment and clinging.